Well, you have the scripture there in your bulletins, and we're going to be getting to the scripture in particular in a little bit into the message itself. But I'm going to begin with a story, and it's a story about one of our kids, Parker, who is our youngest. This is a story, though, about him when he was 4 years old. And on the next page after your scripture, I actually included a picture of him so you can kind of get an image of what we're talking about, what he was like when he was four, because he was pretty much that kid that you see. And that was also the outfit that he insisted on wearing every day when he was 4 years old. Now he is 26 years old. He is an architect in Westport. And he also helps with our live streaming, and he's up in the balcony right now, turning red, I'm sure. I want to share this story because it made a big impact on me, obviously, because I still think about it, and I especially think about it at this time of year during Thanksgiving, and you'll hear why. And it all started like this. It all started one night when we were having a church meeting at our house, the church parsonage, and one of the people who arrived there early was waiting in the living room, and little four-year-old Parker came running into the room. Not sure if he was wearing his cowboy outfit or not at that point, but he was wearing a shiny new police badge sticker. And he was also wearing a brand new plastic police badge sticker on his shirt, too. He was looking very official with his two badges. And our guest very politely noticed both of these badges and asked Parker about them. Well, Parker said, he goes, well, that he got them from a trip that he took a little earlier that day with his mommy. And so the person said, well, those are some very nice badges. And with that just little bit of interest, that was all he needed, and he turned in an instant, and he took off like a shot, and then he stopped the door, and he said, wait, I'll show you everything I got. Right? You know what it's like. And he took off. And then in a flash, he was back with his arms just full of stuff. Because in addition to the two badges, there was a coloring book about police and about police cars, and then there was another coloring book about police, and then there was a stuffed toy of a little police bear that somehow turned into a police car, and then there was a bug that somehow represented the police department, I can't remember. And in seeing all this, the guest said, now where did you get all those things? And Parker says, from the police station, right? And the person said, so why did they give these things to you? And Parker said, because I said thank you, right? And the person said, well, it's good to say thank you, isn't it? And he said, yes. And everything was all going perfectly right up until that moment. Because then he added, because the more you say thank you, the more stuff you get. I was like, oh man. So I jumped in and I said, Parker, you don't say thank you to get things, you say thank you because you appreciate what you have. And I said this for two reasons. The first reason is obviously because that's right, because that's our faith, right? The second reason why I said this was because I didn't know what happened earlier that day at the police station that made him think this way. So Laura explained, because she was there. And what happened was this. So she and Parker went to the police station on some Rooms of the View business to get a permit for a raffle. And they were there for a really long time. And Parker was behaving himself really well. And he was behaving himself so well that a detective said, "Parker, here's a sticker for you of a police badge." And Parker, in his way that he would always do, said, "Thank you for the police badge." Right? And another officer heard that and said, "Wow, that's a really nice way to say thank you." And in hearing this, he also said to the first detective, he said, "Come on, you can do better than that. You can give him something better than a sticker badge," right? So this guy says, "Hey, young man, how would you like a nice plastic badge?" And Parker said, "I would love that." So he said, "Here's the badge." And he says, "Well, thank you for the police badge." And another officer hears this, and he says, "How would you like a coloring book?" And Parker says, "Thank you for the coloring book." And on it went with another coloring book, and it kind of became this competition, this like crazy competition between the officers and detectives and everything about who could give him what just to hear his thank yous, because they were so enthusiastic and he was so appreciative with his words, with his entire being, and his face just lit up and expressed this joy, and it made them happy. And it was almost like they were curious also, like, you know, how much can they keep giving him just to see, you know, is this going to last? Is it going to wane before his gratitude runs out? But you know what? It didn't. It didn't. And with him, it actually never did. He never got tired or timid or jaded. And he didn't do that at home either, because he was just always this incredibly appreciative kid. And like every dinner, you know what I'm going to say? Every dinner, he would be at the table and he would say, "Mom," and she would say, "What?" And he would say, "You're the best cooker." And she would say, "Thank you." And the next night, the same thing. So I think about, you know, what do you do? What do you do when in your life the gifts keep coming? And they keep coming. How long can you keep your appreciation fresh and alive? And I think, isn't that the way it is with us and with God? Every day on our so-called regular, normal, everyday stuff, the routine stuff of life, with God as the creator and giver of all of it, these gifts that just keep coming, that we can kind of take for granted. It's like the first bite of ice cream is great. Second bite of ice cream, also great. You get to like the 10th bite of ice cream, your tongue's kind of frozen, you keep eating it. 1,000th bite, nah. Every day when we wake up, not going to last forever. We receive a priceless gift. It's not always going to be there. Every moment, new breath. Your next one. New gift. Does it feel like that? Sunshine. New gift. We look into the face of someone we love. A lot of times after they're gone, we go, "If I could just see them one more time." Every day on our legs that can walk to some degree. Sometimes we go for an operation, we don't have them. We go, just to walk. Our ears that can hear, our fingers that can move. Our brains that can think and make speech out of words, that doesn't always last. Not going to be with us forever, but it is now. Simple things. So simple. so routine, but huge. I remember the day I was standing with my dad, and we were going to go to dinner, and he was putting on his coat, and he was working at his button, and he was working at it and working at it and working at it. And all of a sudden, he realized, and he said, he goes, "I can't button my coat anymore." He says, and he was laughing. He said, "You know, I've been buttoning my coat since I was 3 years old." Well, can't do that anymore. Remember the day, the moment when we were having something to eat and he was just trying to lift the spoon to his mouth. And he said, "Can you help me? I can't do this anymore." He laughed and he shook his head at the absurdity. And they're great until they're gone. The everyday gifts that just keep coming. And I think about this, and I remind myself about this because, you know, I can get lax, especially on days when I have problems and all I can see is the stuff that's wrong and the stuff that's hard to do. And I say to myself, you know, Paul, you're still laden with so many gifts. So how do I say thanks? Or do we? There's a story about a woman who decided that she wanted to do something nice for her neighbor, so she baked a pie. Talking about pies? She baked a pie, and she carried it next door to her neighbor. Let's call her Mrs. Green. When Mrs. Green opened up the door, she was so surprised to see her neighbor holding a pie. She said, "For me? Thank you so much. That is so kind. You don't know how much I appreciate this. You are so thoughtful. Thank you so much." And because Mrs. Green liked what was happening, and she was so touched by this, next week she thought, you know what, I'm going to bake her another pie. So she took it over. Neighbor said, "You are so kind, thank you." Following week, another pie. Neighbor says, "Thanks." Next week's another pie. Neighbor says, "Oh, another apple pie. I like cherry once in a while. That'd be nice." Next week, she was unable to bake a pie. So as she was walking by the neighbor's house, the person walked out and saw that she wasn't carrying a pie, and she yelled out the window, "Hey, no pie?" Our scripture. When Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, he went to a certain village, and he was confronted by 10 men who had leprosy. And they stood at a distance, which was the rule, and they called out to him in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, a Samaritan, when he saw that he was cleansed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and then he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And Jesus said, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Did no one return to give praise to God except this one?" And then he said to the man, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." I think it's interesting to note here that Jesus isn't thinking here that this one person's gratitude is just good manners. But he actually identifies this whole act and process that this one person took of gratitude actually as faith itself. And not only that, but he said, your faith, which involved realizing that he was blessed in the first place, and then thinking about it enough to turn and take action and actually do something about it to express his gratitude. Praise God, thank Jesus, feel that joy. It wasn't just good manners. Jesus calls that faith. And not only that, he says this kind of living, what you do here, awareness, praise, engagement, sensitivity, expression, it actually heals you. It actually does something. It actually makes you well as a human being. It transforms you. It takes you out of that rut. Cleanses you, makes you new. Somebody wrote up a list of 9 suggestions, 9 possible reasons why maybe the other 9 didn't return. Some of them may sound familiar. One waited to see if the cure was real. Another one waited to see if it would really last. One said he would see Jesus later. He was kind of busy now, but he definitely would see him later and take care of that. One decided, was thinking about it and said, you know, I may not have actually had leprosy in the first place. I think it might have been a skin disorder. Another one said, wow, that was lucky. Another one said, what a strange coincidence. Another one said, you know, I know there's a scientific, rational reason for all of this. I'm going to find that out. And the last one said, you know, I think I was already much improved anyway. How lonely it is to rationalize away our bliss and kill the joy. When Bill Gates was a mere shadow of his current self, when he was nearly a pauper at only $35 billion, he was speaking to a group of 1,500 people in Seattle, Washington. And it was the annual convention of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Very prestigious, technical. After his talk, there were all sorts of kind of technical, businessy type questions and everything. And then there was one person who stood up. He was a medical doctor, and he was also a PhD in philosophy. And he stood up and he asked a question. He said, Mr. Gates, if you were blind, would you trade all of your billions to have your sight restored? And first, Bill Gates looked a little startled, and the room was quiet. And he thought, and he said, you know, for as hard as I've worked for what I've created, yes, I'd give it all away. I'd give it all away to see the faces that I love one more time. What do you have that you would give $35 billion for? To be able to see someone you love one more time? Your ability to walk, if you ever lost it? Talk, if you had no speech? Laugh? Have your children back? Your spouse? Your health? $35 billion each makes you the richest person in the world. For real. God's gifts, these little blessings that not everybody has, we can help make some of them come true. We have that power. The little blessings and the big blessings. So, short question, hopefully a long answer for you, one worth thinking about. Are you one of the nine? Or are you one out of 10? That's totally up to you. You have been healed. You have been blessed. How you want to live your blessings is really up to you. May you have a wonderful life. And may you have a very wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. Amen.